So I told him, I was like, oh, you know what? I'm going to close my business and I'll just go back to the corporate world. And I was, you know, playing it off as if I was sad that I was doing it. But deep down inside, I was so excited to go back to the corporate world because it is such a grind. It is so hard to be an entrepreneur. And something, you know, when you're a beginner, you don't know what you're doing. And so I was tired of feeling not knowing what I was doing.
So how do you determine what success looks like to you? Do you base it on the results and outcomes or on what you've learned along the way? You see, society has conditioned us to tie success to an outcome. But the truth is, failure is an essential part of success. The faster you fail, the faster you will succeed. So the real question is, how can we redefine our relationship with not just failure, but with success as well? Join us to find the answers that will allow you to live a life that's true to yourself and find the clarity you need to make that life a reality. I'm your host, King Lau, and you're listening to the Plan to Fail podcast. What's going on, everybody? It's King here, and I want to welcome you back to another episode of the Plan to Fail podcast. Today, I have Valerie Mecki on the show with me. Valerie is a blogger and content creator for her blog, Oh Hello Work Life, a blog dedicated to mid-career professionals looking to make a career pivot, start a side hustle, or launch a small business. But Valerie didn't actually start her career out as a blogger and content creator. She actually started out in the fashion industry for over 18 years ago as a buyer and product developer. But having laid off multiple times from the industry, Valerie has found her passion for writing a weekly blog, helping others recover from a job loss and finding passion and purpose with their career again. I am super excited to have Valerie share her story on how she was able to bounce back from what probably felt like rock bottom at that time. But first and foremost, Valerie, I want to welcome you to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. So excited to be here.
So just to kick things off, I wanted to give our listeners a little bit of context. So would you be able to share a little bit about your background in the fashion industry? And you know how being laid off from the industry not once but twice actually inspired you to start your blog to help other mid-career professionals pivot and adapt?
Yeah, so I was that kid who would have a coloring book or be super like into drawing all the time. I was drawing all the time. So that led to like looking at magazines and then led to my love of fashion. And I knew that's exactly what I wanted to do. I'm sure like my friends growing up in high school, they're like, oh my God, don't ask her what she wants to be or what she wants to do for college, because she'll just go on and on and it's only one place. And so I graduated from FIBM in San Francisco, and I graduated actually in design. So my journey in the fashion industry is pretty interesting too, because I graduated in design, but I didn't actually end up in a design role. My first role was a production manager. And just to share with you, production, it's like probably not, it's the least glamorous side of the industry. You are dealing with sewing contractors, you're negotiating, you're in the factories. It's not pretty at all. But I started there, and actually I'm so grateful that I started there, because it actually showed, I gained an understanding on how manufacturing works. What are the steps? Who do you need to talk to? How do you negotiate a price? And that kind of just became the foundation of my career. I was then recruited over to the buying side, which is like never heard of before. But there was a part of the company that was moving down to LA, and I just didn't want to leave San Francisco yet. So when the buying department stayed in LA, in San Francisco, the buyer who I was the production manager for, he was like, why don't you become the assistant buyer? And that was like a defining moment that set me into my career as a buyer and a product developer for the next like 15 plus years. And it was amazing because I was able to like take my creative skills as a designer, what I used to be, right? And then, or what I graduated with, and then my knowledge of manufacturing and put it together on the business side of fashion, which is buying. So I the career I had in product development and merchandising was amazing. I got to work for two incredible companies. However, you know, with the fashion industry, it does have its peaks and its valley, and it really depends on trends, right? If the brand is not doing well anymore, it is really hard to have a comeback. Some brands have amazing comebacks. Unfortunately, some of the companies that I worked for, it wasn't the case. And so I was laid off the first time. And actually, it wasn't too bad. I was already working for this company for almost 8 years. They were pretty transparent, actually. I knew that there was financial issues already. I was on the leadership team, so I knew like the writing was already on the wall, and they were getting rid of like upper management. And so they were great. Like the way that they did it was very respectful. And so when I was like, oh, this is what a layoff is, it's not so bad, right? But it didn't turn out to be the case my second time that I was laid off, which is this recently, right before COVID had hit. Yeah. So, but before I even got to my second layoff, I actually was a little burnt out from the fashion industry. And so I actually started my own business. I opened a home staging company because at that point I felt like, hey, I can totally do this entrepreneurial thing, right? Like I've run like a very successful time in the industry. I understood like the manufacturing, the costing side, how hard could it be? Let me translate it to entrepreneurship and have this home staging company. Boy, was I wrong. Because let me tell you, like when you are on the side of like, you can buy things from people, you have vendors going to you every day. It's so different. And no one really tells you this, but it's so different when you have to put yourself out there and market yourself. And I think that's, you know, I don't know about you, but that's like one of the hardest things is putting yourself out there and marketing yourself.
Oh, 100%. It is so hard. And I remember even this podcast, I only started because I was part of a coaching program and I knew I needed the push. And the first 10 episodes of the show, you can go back if you're ever curious, a 6 to 8 minute episode took me 8 hours to record just because, or just from top to bottom, like record, edit, upload, because like 6 hours was spent recording because like I came from the finance industry. So from a very young age, so I started in that industry at 21. So I had to adopt a more mature mentality from that young age because I was on commission at the age of 21 as a financial advisor. So what I didn't know that is my language and how I spoke, how I was writing emails was very corporate. So when I would start podcasting, I was like, oh my goodness, I sound like some corporate drone lecturing people. I'm like, who's going to listen to this? And I remember I had so much self-doubt and I was so self-conscious that I had to write out a script. I had to read it. And I was actually more expressive when I read it out loud, just because if I was trying to just monologue it, I would be like tripping up, like, what's the next word I need to say? So it is a huge challenge. But at the same time, I don't know, do you agree with this? But I feel like if you are willing to push yourself out of your comfort zone and put yourself out there, you actually learn a lot about yourself in the process of creating content, because it's not even just about putting yourself out there, but it's like, what are you talking about? Like, what is your stance on certain situations?
It's with intent.
Exactly. And with that, you start realizing where you stand. You gain that confidence in yourself of being more centered and knowing like who you are, what you stand for. So as a result, you're less affected. I wouldn't say you won't be affected, but you're less affected by negative comments or negative feedback from people, just as you learn more about yourself.
Definitely. And when I actually didn't learn too much about that, like putting yourself out there and like post and how I am doing it right now actively. But when I had my home staging business, I created like DIY videos, right? So like, I thought that was a way to like get people to my website and stuff like that. And that was a little bit different. That was just being creative again, like tapping into my creative side and being on video and editing it and putting it together. That was like pretty easy, but putting yourself out there face to face, you know, like, hey, how are you? Let me tell you, I can be your stager. Like that is a whole different when it's like about building relationships. and making that connection. It's very different. And I didn't actually learn that until where I am right now. But that, then, so that business, I actually ended up closing because my husband decided to launch his own business. So I told him, I was like, oh, you know what? I'm going to close my business and I'll just go back to the corporate world. And I was, you know, playing it off as if I was sad that I was doing it, but deep down inside, I was so excited to go back to the corporate world because it is such a grind. It is so hard to be an entrepreneur. And something, you know, when you're a beginner, you don't know what you're doing. And so I was tired of feeling not knowing what I was doing, right? So even though I learned a lot about myself, I didn't learn enough. And I ended up quitting, to be honest with you. Like, I don't think it's a failure, but I just couldn't handle the discomfort anymore. So when I went back to the corporate world, I was like, and I even took a lower role, like position. I was like, I'm just going to put my head down. I'm just going to like work and be cushy and hide in this, like behind this like computer. And then I was laid off. And then I was laid off due to the impacts of COVID-19, like right before. So I was laid off in April, 2020. And this time it was not the same experience that I had before. I was blindsided in my opinion. I didn't know that it was coming. I thought I was a part of the central team. I was wrong. So it really took me a while to kind of get back on my feet. And that's actually where I learned a lot about myself is after the layoff. And I was trying my best to like get back out there and look for another job, but it was just so difficult right after, like we were in the middle of a pandemic, no one was hiring. And so when you go through that moment on top of being laid off and then getting ghosted and putting your resume out there and putting yourself out there, if you don't fix what's inside here first, you're not going to be ready for all of the rejections or the ghosting that you have coming for you when you're in a job search. And so I had to, you know, quickly figure out a game plan on how am I going to recover inside first before I put myself out there.
Yeah. And I want to dig a little deeper in that because I think that it is like, you know, it's not talked about enough, but like, you know, when you were laid off at least a second time, it's like how much of it, if any, did you blame yourself? Because it's so easy for us to be like, oh, something's wrong with me. I see like getting a job and dating the same thing, you know, it's like the bounce back job where you're like, you're like, oh, I got laid off or I got dumped. And like the first thing you're like, is something wrong with me? And I know that even though it might not be that being in that mindset, like, so if you experienced that, like, how was that for you? And how were you able to actually overcome that?
Absolutely. I mean, when you are laid off, you don't have any agency over that, right? So you then your mind starts racing, like, what did I do wrong? I don't understand. Am I not valuable? And so the only feedback or action you hear, and I got very little feedback, and that's usually the case. I'm not gonna like call them out on it. That's just pretty much, I think I'm thinking it's probably standard for companies not to share too much information to keep them protected. I don't think it's the best practice. I think there are better ways of handling it, but that's what had happened. And so you yourself individually, then you are left with your own stories in your mind. Like, you know, like I said, what did I do wrong? Am I not worthy? Did I not bring value to the table? And it's a complete nonsense and not true at all. But it does take time to work it out within yourself, to find your who you are, reset and recalibrate. And for me, I did a lot of journaling during that time. And that's kind of what sparked my whole like writing again. And kind of put me down the road towards blogging.
Yeah. Yeah. Can you like explain for like, how did journaling actually help? Cause I journal myself and I've been trying to get a lot of my friends to journal and they all laugh at me and I can't blame them. I had friends who told me to journal back then. I laughed at them. So everybody kind of goes on that path, but I kind of want people to understand like, you know, from your words, like how did journaling help you process those thoughts? Because I think that so often not, these are traumas. Like we don't see them as traumas. We see like being abused or like domestic abuse or those are trauma. And then those are like at the most extreme cases, but everything like this, that's a trauma. So how did that actually help you like process that trauma instead of burying it? Because I think that the worst thing we can do is to actually not feel the emotions. And As a result, like, you know, like that's why people turn to alcohol, drugs, or whatever it might be, because they try to numb it. But it actually takes a lot of bravery and a lot of courage to write it down and like address it face on. Like, this is what I'm going through. This is how I feel and think about myself. And to write that down and stare it straight, like straight at it. Yeah. Like, how does that process of like healing help you?
Yeah, you've said it right. Right. Like I am an overthinker. And so if I continue to think, it's just going to manifest into a very dangerous place. Right. So journaling allowed me to just take all my unwanted thoughts. And it literally felt like it was leaving my body when I was writing it down, because you made a perfect example. When you see it black and white in front of you, it doesn't live inside of you anymore. And you can just rewrite it. You can literally like rewrite it. Like, you can say, I am worthy, right? You can write that down. Yes, they did drop me or they did lay me off, but you can write something totally different next, right? And the best thing I can recommend for people to do is, if you are going through something right now, you're trying to get over it, take each morning about 5 minutes and just don't think about it. Open up a journal, a piece of paper, whatever, and just start writing. And it could start with, like, I don't know, if you're staring at your coffee cup, start writing about a coffee. It just doesn't matter. Once you're in the flow for a straight 5 minutes nonstop, you just feel really surprised at how it can help you get all of your thoughts out.
Right. Because I feel like one of the blockages, especially when it's journaling, is like, what do I write? And it's the funniest question. It's the most ironic question, because like, you can write anything, like, you know what I mean? Like, whatever's on mind. And I think that was a huge struggle for me, where I'm like, I felt like there was a certain way I had to journal. I felt like I had to be like, oh, I'm going to talk about this and that, but it's just like whatever comes out. And I think that, did that actually come naturally to you?
No, I actually give a credit to my friend, Lisa Marie. She gave me that advice, was like, you know what, just if whatever pops in your mind, and it could be anything, just start writing about that, because naturally your thoughts will take over.
Yeah, for sure. And I think overthinking, I'm an overthinker myself. And that's why I had to kind of get over that process too. Because at some point I felt like I was more stressed. The fact that I had to journal, because like I made it like a commitment, right? It's just like, I got to get into the habit of it to see if it's actually positively impacting my life. And in the beginning, I felt like it was more of a stressful thing. And at some point I'm like, I'm doing this completely wrong. If I'm more stressed just trying to journal, I really need to take a different approach. And that's why kind of leads me to like wanting to ask you, like, how, like, during this process of these setbacks, because like it's not just once but twice, and I'm sure being laid off after being in an industry for 18 years, that plays an effect. It's not like you've only been in the industry for a year or two, right? Because that's easier to, I don't know, but like maybe you can clarify that. Probably would be an easier pill to swallow than if you were like, oh, you know, I'm a senior, like I'm an expert in this area and getting laid off. So, you know, during these setbacks, like how, like I know, like I'm a huge mindset person, so I have to ask, like, how big was mindset for you, right? Were there any particular shifts for you that kind of helped you to like regain your belief in yourself, your confidence, and be able to push forward and try new things with courage?
Well, for me, I think mindset came a little bit later, but I'm also a really analytical person too, right? So I took all the information, which is like data, right? So I just laid off, I'm a mid-career professional. What is my next move going to be? And so I wish it was a lot more like holistic how it came out. It did end up going in a direction that is, it's pretty amazing right now. But in the beginning, it really was just like pragmatic. I was like, okay, well, if I'm not going to be, I want to pivot out of the fashion industry, just because I have been in the industry so long and this is my second layoff. I don't want to deal with that again. So I started doing some research on project management, and that was actually going to be my first blog. It was going to be a case study for my future employer. You know, hey, I can stay relevant. I understand SEO and I know how to do some content writing. But then I realized like that is like the most boring thing you probably can like do. No offense to all the project managers out there, but like I'm a little bit of a mix of like analytical person, but also like I carry a lot of emotions too. So if it doesn't feel right with me, I know myself that I'm not going to put all hands, you know, all passion forward into it. So I then changed the subject of project management for the blog that I was going to launch. Instead, I wanted to focus on mid-career professionals looking to start a side hustle, level up in their career, or start a business, everything that I have already experienced in my life. And I really design and I really think and have intentions that when I write, it's not just for women, but I do have women in my mind as I'm writing it, because this, this pandemic had a major effect on women, especially women of color. I think at a point it was over 3 million women that were out of a job during the height of the pandemic because they were either laid off or they had to stay at home for obligations at the home. So, and we're still trying to recover, to be honest with you. I think last month they just did a report and all of the new jobs went to men. So this particular moment that we're going through right now, it has a major impact on women. And I just wanted to, if there was any small way that I could put out there, which is in my blog and creating content, and will help a woman like be inspired to start a side hustle or to, you know, look into a business, that is my goal, is like complete. And that's why I decided to launch Oh Hello Work Life.
Wow. And I think it's sorely needed. I didn't know those numbers, but like you bring it up, it's just how our world is still running. Like I truly believe that. And I think it is so important to kind of have that voice, because it shows, right? And when you put yourself out there, when you're vulnerable, it allows people to relate. And you know, at the end of the day, it's so easy for us to get caught up in our own heads and think that, oh, I'm the only one that's going through. So seeing other people or relate or being able to connect with other people that are going through similar situations, you know, it's so important to bring that collective together, because together we can do so much more. But as much as I know you're helping people with your blog, is there any like any followers you've had that you've learned from? Because I'm sure that as much as like, it's like coaching, right? As much as a coach, you're like, as a mentee learns from their coach or mentor, the mentor is still learning from their mentee as well. So is there any like specific person or situation that inspired you as you were building out your blog?
Oh my gosh, I learned so much. I'm such a curious person, and I if I'm not learning, then there's something wrong with me today. Then, but I mean, I'm learning as I'm going. I never thought I would be a writer. I wasn't really known for that. I don't know if you have like in your family, people, they kind of label you as certain things. I wasn't really known to be the writer. You know, I was the creative one. But I had to like, but I'm curious enough to learn in terms of like go on YouTube and the resources are out there, right? Like it's pretty much at our fingertips. But the best thing that I learned, it wasn't from a follower, and it gave me such a boost in where I am today. I read this article about posting on LinkedIn for 90 days and seeing the difference. And I think during the time when we were all sheltering in place, LinkedIn had a major boom. Like it definitely is very different now, right? So I just decided, okay, well, I have nothing else to lose, and I have to start putting myself out there. So I just started posting on LinkedIn, and that has really been a game changer for me. And in some ways, my journaling, I can't hold it back. The way that I journal and the way that I blog, I write my content in the same way. And I think right now, people on LinkedIn, in general, I think people are really welcoming that. You know, LinkedIn is a professional platform, but I think over, you know, because we've all collectively gone through this, pandemic together, and work and home are never separated now, especially that work is right behind you. You can see it on the screen. There's this just humanization that's happening on LinkedIn. And so I started sharing my like jobs, my layoff journey and my job search journey, and it really has resonated with a lot of people. So I'm just stunned and so honored when people reach out to me in private messages and sharing their layoff story with me. And some people may not feel comfortable sharing it, right, on LinkedIn, which is like has 650 million people who are on the platform. I don't have a problem sharing it, but really what has come back to me in reward is just people reaching out and saying, thanks for sharing that because I felt like I was alone. So that's why I share more.
Yeah. And I think especially on LinkedIn, it's sorely needed. Like I always say LinkedIn is one of those necessary evils. I hate LinkedIn. I'll be the first to admit, I do not like how people network there. I do not like, you know, every content people create is like, oh, if you like to hear more, like contact me, DM me for coaching opportunities. Like, you know, it as much as like, it's just the whole idea like, oh, I'm providing value, I'm putting content out there, but there's all, I know in a business standpoint, you always want a call to action. You want something to do something, but I feel like it's so overdone and you have people who are trying to add you as connections. And they're like, the first message they message you is like, hey, I can do this for you. I checked out your website and I can help you do this. I'm like, I just said, hello, how are you doing? What do you know what I mean? Like, I think it is a trend that it's moving towards because people are sick and tired of that. And there is something to this new raw and authentic feel people crave nowadays, just because I would say 10 years ago, people want the professional look because that was new, you know, that modern sleek design. People like flock to that. But like now there's so many brands out there and everybody has a nice website. Everybody's trying to go for modern, sleek or very curated look. And people are actually craving more of that raw, authentic, shoot your video on your selfie cam. But you know, it's something you did say that really piqued my interest was that, you know, you had a family where you were labeled a certain way and you weren't really per se the writer. So I would say that how did that identity, like the identity of not resonating as a writer, how much was it that you just didn't like, I guess you didn't like writing or didn't feel like you were good at writing, or how much was it was like because you were labeled growing up as like the art kid and not the, for example, the academic or the person or the writer of the family? Like how did that actually play a role in kind of shaping your view on yourself as a writer? And how did you kind of break through those limiting beliefs? Because now you've kind of made it your full-time gig. I can't imagine the amount of limiting beliefs you had to overcome, you know, to be able to make this decision. And it has been such a big decision in your life as well.
I would say that, it stuck with me for a while. So I think I played up my strong suit of creativity and very, you know, bigger part of my life, right? Like I understood like, yes, I'm not the academic and I'm a terrible speller. So I'm going to draw you a picture instead. So yes, I use that as my defense mechanism, my way to like show my value, my worth. But when you, I think what was so ironically kind of beautiful about my layoff is that you are kind of stripped away from what you think you're good at. Right? Because this, whatever has happened to you in your mind, you're kind of like, okay, well, what am I good at? So it kind of gave me this permission to like try something new. And even though it was just to myself, I felt like I have really nothing else to lose. Why don't I just keep writing and doing this? And then, you know, it's kind of interesting. I think blogging and product development are very kind of similar because you have to create the, you know, a hooky type of headline. You have to pick the pictures. You have to create these sentences that keep the reader engaged. And that's really like product development in the fashion industry. You have to pick the right color. You have to, you know, make sure that the style lines are like exactly what the people want. So it really is, yes, there, you know, I'm dealing with product versus like a article, but you really, I'm using the same creativity that I've always had inside of me. It's just really, it's really awesome that there's technology like Grammarly and Hemingway that can help you now, right?
Yeah, no, for sure. And I think it's so important because it's like why I wanted to bring that up. It's one of my biggest goals in life is to just help people question more, like raise their consciousness to just start questioning. Because like I never saw myself, for example, as a podcaster. You know, I never thought of myself as a content creator either before all of this. And these were just beliefs because it's either what I thought about myself or what like people have told me in the past. And I really want people to realize that, you know, everything that we go through, everything that we know of this world is structured by the society we live in. And we don't get a choice in whichever society we're born into, but yet we adopt all the beliefs without ever questioning it once. And it's so cool that, you know, like, that's why I really want to highlight that. It's like how you grew up not believing that you were a writer. And now it's literally your full-time gig, creating content and writing on your blog. And I think that it, like, for me, it was like, I had to hit that rock bottom too. And I really resonate when you kind of lost your identity, when you shared that you lost your identity through the process of being laid off. Is, well, I didn't get laid off. I made the decision to leave finance, but I remember that was last year. And that second half of last year was rock bottom for me. I remember it was so fun. I did not expect to go through that, but it was like, once I left, people were kind of asking me, oh, what's next? What are you doing? And I remember I became more and more self-conscious, and I didn't realize how much of my confidence was actually tied to my identity as a financial advisor at that time, that people knew me as a finance guy. I was a go-to guy. Like, all of that I had to face, where I'm like, who am I now? And I was like, why am I feeling this? And that was a hard period in time, but like, I feel like there's so much importance where if you're willing to go through something like that, that really allows you to discover yourself. Like you said, it's, what do you have to lose? I mean, you've already, at this point, you're stripped naked, like metaphorically, and you're like, well, I might as well try it.
Yes. And then also, you know, it doesn't mean that you have to lose what you're really good at. You just may have to, like, you know, use a different, I used to, you know, use a paintbrush, but now I'm doing a pen. Like, you could still tap into your natural gifts and talents. You just have to be open to what is a new way of doing that.
Yeah, no, because I truly believe that, like, everybody's a creative. It's like, do you believe in yourself to try? Are you confident in yourself to be able to learn? And like, for myself, it's just like, you know, like, even for drawing, like, I was like, I never saw myself as much of an artist when it comes to drawing, but like, even like, I don't know, have you ever read the book, A Mindset by Carol Dweck? If you ever get the chance, it's a beautiful, I would say that's like the foundation of like, that's the first book anybody should read, because that kind of sets the tone for all the other knowledge you gain, or like, over either books, podcasts, or courses, whatever it is. One example was that they talked about was that people didn't believe that they tested two types of people, right? And one, people that didn't believe that they had the ability to draw, and they also tested someone with a growth mindset, like the fixed mindset and the growth mindset, that the people who are willing or more open to challenges, and over time they got better. And I truly believe that, like, we're all artists at heart. And it just depends on, are you willing to try it? And there's really no right or wrong. And I think that that's another thing I really want to touch about, is this whole idea of perfection, where I'm putting stuff out there, it has to be perfect, but there's no such thing as perfect content. So I'm sure you had struggles like kind of overcoming that as well. So like, what are some of those struggles of kind of getting over yourself and that whole idea of perfection?
Absolutely. Like, it is all about the growth mindset. If you're just willing to be open, to be vulnerable, and to, you know, go down those uncomfortable roads, then it really does get easier over time once you start, you know, trying new things, and that you still survived it. Okay, let's do some more and do some more. I think for me, like you, how you were pointing out with your first podcast, like your first episodes, right? Like, it took me so long to write my first blog. Like, it took me like 3 days. And you know what showed up for me was my way of trying to prove that I was an intellect, and I started putting all these facts and stuff like that, right? And it was just not necessary. Like, the blog was so, that article was so long. It was, had so much information in it. It wasn't really made for the reader. It was something that I was trying to prove to myself. And then once I started to like read it and see it, right, I'm like, that is like not very like a nice reader experience. Let's rethink this all over again. Who are you showing up as, right? Are you showing up as you try to prove something, or are you going to really dig deep and say, I just want to help, you know, mid-career professionals get the information that they want very easy and quickly. How do I make that happen? So it also goes back down to, if you have a why and a purpose, tap back into that, because it's not really about you proving anything.
Right, right. And so, you know, like going through, you know, like learning how to create content the right way, how has that helped you transition or build the confidence to transition into entrepreneurship by putting yourself out there? How has those skills you've learned in that process actually helped you to, you know, stand behind your business, your mission, and, you know, be confident in what you're doing, especially this is your second stint, you know, trying in business and having the confidence.
And I didn't want to be honest with you. I think up until early this year, I was still trying to find a job, a corporate job, like a full-time job, and make the blogging kind of like a little bit on the side. But it was, you know, I decided to go double down and really commit to being a content and SEO writer. And it really is all because every day I would put out a post on LinkedIn, and it's really about putting in the reps, right? And it's really about putting in and posting every day and seeing what works, right? And then that's when like my experience as a buyer kind of kicked in. Like, you just have to like test and see what happens and see what the results are. All of those things that you have experienced in the past, they will start to come up, you know, and serve you well. And then I think that's the beauty of a career pivot, is that you get to keep the good things that you learned in previous jobs, and you can actually apply it towards your new future, your new role. So for me, it was just like putting in the reps and just content every day. And that really gained confidence. I think practice is not perfect. Practice builds confidence.
Yeah. Like when you're able to emotionally detach yourself from it, that's when things get easier. Something I learned is like, you know, to the things we have to do day in and day out, you know, to reach our goals, it's actually quite simple. And I use the word simple because it's simple, but it's hard, because most of the time we're fighting ourselves. Like something I've noticed, even like kind of move.
We make it complicated.
And that's why AI is like, they learn twice, 10 times as fast, because trial and error. Oh, it's wrong. Let's do it again. But when we fail at something, or when we have a setback, we're like, oh my goodness. And we go through this whole period of having to like come to terms with ourselves. But I'm a firm believer that everything happens for a reason, and that everything we experience in life is actually preparing us for the future. And it's, I bring this up is because, like you said, like everything you've learned, you know, in the fashion industry, all those skills, you're actually applying it now. And was this like a realization? Like it was a hindsight, I'm assuming. So how can you, like, do you remember that epiphany moment where I'm like, oh my goodness, like it's everything I did. It's not like I wasted it and like the career ended. It's actually helping me build my business right now today.
Yeah. I think seeing the blog form and shape to where is today is exactly like how I would start a season off in product development. And it's pretty like, it's a little awkward in the beginning because you don't know what you're gonna like create. And then there's like a messy middle because you're trying to like figure out the costing. So like there's so many similarities. And really what we're talking about is creating something that is an idea and bringing it to reality. And it's, you know, it's just whatever I used to do in fashion, it's the same thing for blogging. So if you just start open enough to see that there are similarities that are playing in front of you, then you're already well off. You're not really a beginner. And so that should take the scary feeling or the worry of transitioning into a new career.
Yeah. And it really just starts with that belief in yourself. I like a lot of the times we're all capable, and it's really just about believing in yourself. And that's really the hardest piece. And that's why like hearing your story and like the ways that you had to bounce back, and you know, your second attempt at business, it's really, truly inspiring. But before I really even just wrap up our conversation, what is the best platform for our listeners to follow you on?
The best one is LinkedIn. I use it like my Instagram. So you can follow me there. My full name is Valerie Mecki. You can find me there. And if not, you can find me on Instagram at Oh Hello Work Life.
Perfect. I'll make sure to include the links in the episode notes for sure. And my last question for you is do you have, what word of advice would you have for people who are either like looking to bounce back, you know, from a setback and maybe even transition into business? Like going through that, you know, that both a mental and emotional transition, like for someone who's in that period, what word of advice would you have for them?
Start before you're ready. Because when you think you are ready, the time would have gone by so much. You may never start because you may never feel like you're ready. But start before you're ready is the best advice that I can give to anyone.
Right. No, for sure. And I think it's really about leaning into uncertainty. And it's something that I've been living day in and day out. And it's kind of funny because like, it's uncomfortable as hell. I'll be the first to admit, like every single day, not every single day, but there are times I would just question myself. I'm like, oh my gosh, why am I putting myself through that? But what it actually opened up another side of like, you know, life maybe should be lived like this, where you don't know what the next thing comes in. I think there's like, it's as hard as it's been the last year of like leaving, you know, my previous business and starting down this new venture. I never felt more alive. Like I've never been more financially strapped, emotionally like burnt, you know, mentally like strained and pushed to my limits every single day. But seeing myself grow in the last 4 months, and also like just experiencing, I don't know what's going to happen next. You know what I mean? Like opportunities are coming up, like the sky is the limit. I think there is a beauty into embracing that. I'm never going to be the one to tell people to like quit their jobs and jump into the abyss without a plan. That's a very personal decision. For me, it's really shifted how I see things. And I actually feel like, yeah, more happy to like every day wake up with more excitement than when I woke up and had to show up to the office and put in my 8-10 hours a day, go back and look forward to the weekend. Now, every day I even forget what day of the week it is. And partially it's due to COVID because we're all stuck inside. But the other side of it, it doesn't matter. I'm not looking forward to the weekend. So yeah.
Absolutely. You are the designer and you're your own author of this book. So rewrite your future. It doesn't have to be your circumstance.
It doesn't. And I think that like what I've like my main mission with this podcast is to help people see that, you know, if you have choice in it and if you know that corporate lifestyle is your thing, then that's perfectly fine.
Totally.
Yeah, totally. You know, that's why we're all balanced. That's how the world works. Right. But at the same time, if you're not happy, you have the power to choose which reality. Of course, some decisions are going to require more work. Some is going to be more uncertain. But at the end of the day, the power is within us. So Valerie, thank you so much again for taking the time and being on the show. Honestly, I am so inspired by just seeing you pivot and shift. Like I'm 25 and that shift felt like everything. And I can't remember, and I was only in finance for 4 years, you know what I mean? And that felt like me uprooting my whole life. So hearing how you transitioned, you've been laid off, you started your business, got back into corporate, and to start your new business now, that story is inspirational. And I know that our listeners will find a lot of value. And my hope is that they can draw certain similarities from your story so that they can realize that, you know, they have that power to make that decision as well.
Thank you.
For everybody's listening, if you found value or if you resonated with what Valerie had to share today, make sure you check out her upcoming guided course, Finding Your Passion After Job Loss, which is a 14-day guided course to help professionals gain the confidence after losing a job and is designed to prepare you for a brighter future ahead with passion and purpose. The course will go over, or will cover, I should say, intro to meditation, discovering your strengths, and finding clarity with your career with an expert coach. And I'll make sure to include the link in the episode notes once it goes live. But in the meantime, if you want to learn more about what Valerie and the stuff she puts out, make sure you check out her blog, ohhelloworklife.com. And I'll make sure to include a link to the episode notes for that as well. Valerie, thank you again for coming on the show. It has been an absolute pleasure and honor to have the chance to have such a fruitful discussion with you.
Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Plan to Fail. Remember, you can achieve the life you've always wanted. Thank you so much for being a part of this community. And until next time, stay hungry.